The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hey guys, welcome to Who's On Content, a show that explores and dissects the influential, behavioral altering power of content through thought-provoking, culturally relevant, and industry-shifting dialogues. I'm your host, of course, EJ, Head of Special Projects at DBA, and I'm so fucking excited for you to join me on this journey of getting to know the innovative leaders and creators in our insanely addictive industry of content marketing. I mean, if content is the only influencer of behavior, we might as well figure out who's on content. Let's get into it. Hey, hey, everyone. We are back again with another edition of What's the Deal with NGP. Hey, girl.
Hi.
Welcome back. You know, I always love having you.
Oh, thank you. I like being here.
Oh, my gosh. So, NGP, what's the deal with branded moments versus moments that brands can be a part of? We sent out an open letter probably like 2 months ago that I...
I don't even know why you're asking this. This is really your thing.
I mean, it is my thing, but I think I always love someone else's opinion on it because I feel very strongly about it. Mm-hmm. But as, you know, someone that's working with our brand partners every single day, you're on the front lines of being a partner to our brand partners.
Right. So let's break down branded moments versus moments that brands can be a part of, right? Let's just start there. So branded moments are moments that the brands feel like are integral to their business. Mm-hmm. So it's like a product launch. It might be key buying periods that are important to their business. Yep. So if you're an alcohol brand, the summer entertaining might be a key moment for you. If you are a CPG brand, back to school might be good for you. Yep. If you are any brand, holiday is going to be good for you,
the
right?
Girls.
So they have their calendar, their marketing calendar usually that they want to activate against to drive sales. Mm-hmm. So those are the branded moments, and those are the times that they may or may not have influencers to help amplify those moments, right? Yep. So, and then there's moments that brands can be a part of. So these are things that influencers are doing, going about their lives, mm-hmm. going about their business, where it makes sense for a brand to be a part of. So that might be a housewarming party, that might be a bachelorette party, it might be an anniversary, a birthday, a something, where it's like, hey, let me, you know, holler at this alcohol brand, see if they would sponsor me, holler at this venue, a hotel.
Yeah.
All of the things.
Basically, I'm living life. Do you want to be a part of this moment?
Yes. Because it just, it feels more organic.
Right. And intentional and authentic and all the things.
Yes. But we're beefing because the brands, they need their key moments. Right.
They're gonna
have their product launch. Whether you're on board or not.
Right. Whether you're on a bachelorette party or not.
But I think creators get really frustrated because, fine, have your moments or whatever, but you're telling me how to market it to my audience mm-hmm. that is in a voice or a way that's not organic to me or authentic to me. It's organic to the brand. And if you're going to do that, you should have just did a commercial. I am not a commercial.
Come on.
I am a person. I am a creator, and these fans are very real. So those are the conflicts, and I think that's why creators really want more moments that brands could be a part of. It just, it makes more sense. And it's just like, listen, there's so many ads on Instagram right now.
So many.
And we know what a branded moment is. So it's like, let the creators live their lives.
Let the creators be creators.
And let it flow. Like, just let it
Tony
rock.
Braxton, let it flow.
I don't know that song. So just work with the girls. Like, let it flow. Let it rock.
Yeah.
I think you need both. That's my opinion.
Because that's supporting the industry, right?
You need both. It is what it is. But it's just, as an industry, we need to find ways to better collaborate with one another.
Yes.
So I think that looks like brands, you know, brands know who they like.
Yep.
Not all the time, but I think for the most part.
They have their invoked set of creators.
They know who they like. Yep. So if you know the vibes and you know you have these moments coming up, like, reach out to them and be like, what could this look like from an influencer standpoint?
Yes, the collaboration.
Yes. And, you know, and influencers have their favorite brand, so that's pitching them on their branded moments and stuff. There needs to be more communication. Mm-hmm. My issue with this industry is so transactional.
It's so transactional.
It's like, here's a creative brief, take the photo, send it back. Okay, where's the analytics? Okay, you're done. Thank you so much. And it's like, we could create so much more beautiful content if we were in constant conversation, collaborating, brainstorming.
Actually creating, like, long-standing partnerships.
Yes. And it takes a little bit of work, a lot of work, but you can see the benefits of it long-term.
You know when bad content has entered the chat.
Yeah, because it's just, it was rushed.
It's just giving.
It was giving, here's the brief, can you do it, yes or no? And it's like, I guess.
Right. Well, I always enjoy having you. Thank you for being
here. Yeah, thanks for having me.
My favorite person, my sister, she is the king, the queen, whatever you want to give to her of cultivating brave spaces in media for people of color, especially Black women. She is the one, the only, Danielle Cadet Wiggins. How are you, love?
Oh my gosh. Wait, that intro just like made me emotional. You really, that's how you know when like family, when family introduces you, it hits different.
It always hits different because family is what, family are the people behind the scenes watching you do the work, but also knowing what you go through when you take off that cape.
See, that's it. You just hit the nail on the head because especially in media, like there's a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Yes, yes.
And things look so perfect. And like for those of us who do our jobs as well as you and I do.
Thank you.
It looks easy.
A lot of the guests on Who's On Content know that this is a journey of discovery. Because the one thing about content is that content is the only influencer of behavior. Let's just start with, how do you define content?
I mean, you just blew me away with that definition right there. Like, that is wild. I mean, I think you're absolutely right in that content is, it is, like, when I think about storytelling, right? Like, I always think about, I got into this business to tell stories. I got into this business to ensure that people that look like me were being seen. And when I say seen, I don't mean, like, there's a difference between being seen and being portrayed, right?
Yeah.
And so when I think about content, I think that it's the way that we communicate how we see ourselves and each other.
Yeah.
And
you talking about my definition. Yes. Wow. How we communicate, how we see ourselves, and how we see each other.
That, you know, that like the way that I, even if we think about little things like Instagram stories or like, you know, just little things, the way that they've taken, they've like really entrenched themselves in our lives. And you, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head with your definition because it's like, it influences our behavior. When I'm creating any form of content, I take it very seriously. I'm very serious about how I am portraying, extremely intentional about, because what I'm saying in my content is, this is how I see myself.
Yes.
And this is how I see you. And that's a really serious statement.
That's a really serious statement. And it speaks to why your morning affirmations, when you are able to post them, with beautiful Linux. I feel like I'm going to get emotional. A Black mother affirming her Black daughter in a mirror. And there may even be moments of you affirming little Danielle.
Yes.
When you didn't have the vocabulary. Yes. But because you now have the vocabulary and are mothering another Black woman, you can say to the parts of yourself that you're still healing from, little Danielle, it's okay. Danny, you still got it, girl.
That is exactly. I mean, the crazy thing about the affirmations, and for anybody who doesn't know, on my Instagram, I post daily or as much as I can.
That's why I said as much as you can, because listen, we're going to get to why you is out in these streets busy.
Right, right. But it's so funny because I started doing them like really out of nowhere. It was just one day I had her on the changing table and there's a mirror right by her changing table, right above her changing table. And she started looking in the mirror. And when she was really little, like infant, she would start just babbling. And I saw her like looking in the mirror and talking to herself. And I was like, oh my gosh, like look at you giving yourself a little affirmation. And I was just kind of joking about it. But it started to kind of become, even for me, honestly, initially for me, not they were. And that's why I say it's about how you see yourself and then how you see others, because it started with me. It started with me and my daughter. It was like, oh, for me, this is a really fun moment to, at a time when, you know, a lot of people think about parental leave or maternity leave as just like time off. It is a really wild emotional ride for birth parents. You know, the hormones, the physical recovery, the identity, the roller coaster of emotions that you go on as you're discovering yourself as a parent. It's really, it's a wild ride. And so I needed in that moment to affirm myself. I needed at times to really say, like, you know what, Danielle, you are, you're still here. And like, you know, whether it's the little girl inside of you or the mother that you're becoming or the little girl in front of you who you are intentionally raising and putting all yourself, all of yourself into.
Yes.
You are going to take a moment to just really be here in the moment with your child and say something that you need to hear and say something you know she's going to need to hear too. And I always love that, like, people are always in my DMs like, yes, baby girl, you better tell them. And it's so funny. Like, it's so funny because what I've come to realize is that, like, people need these affirmations just as much as I do.
Yes.
Like, and this is really where it came from. Shout out to my therapist who oftentimes pushes back at my, I'm hypercritical of myself. And my therapist pushes back at my hypercriticism by saying, what would you say if your daughter said that to you? What would you say if your daughter came to you and said, oh my God, I messed this up, or I dropped the ball, or I didn't do this well?
Yeah.
How would you respond to her? How would, because we wouldn't talk to the people we love the way we talk to ourselves sometimes, you know?
Right.
And so a lot of times those affirmations are me trying to not only speak to my daughter with intention and to from a very young age, teach her how to affirm herself, because a lot of us don't learn how to affirm ourselves until our big ages, okay?
Oh, look,
until
we're still learning.
And we're still learning. So I'm trying to teach her from very early on that she should intentionally affirm herself. But I'm also oftentimes speaking, like you said, to my inner child. I'm going back to that little person that maybe didn't get that communication in the way I really needed.
Right.
And it, to me, is me not only serving myself and taking care of myself, but it's me really, really intentionally taking care of my daughter and being the kind of mother, quite frankly, that I've always wanted to be.
You hit the nail on the head in terms of how hypercritical we can be to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think there are groups of people that are very hypercritical because we are moving in spaces and places not built for us.
Yes.
So the fear of the mask falling off, we're so choked up with fear and anticipation we're critical of one moment where it was like, ooh, did they clock me?
Yes.
Oh, shit. Did I like go off script? And of the amazing career that you have had, do you feel that the weight of the responsibility that you have to continue to trailblaze through media that we consume on a global scale, does that weigh on how critical you are of yourself?
Oh, absolutely. All the time, every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I am very much in competition with myself. Like, always, every day. Like, I am a very competitive person and I compete against myself every day. And I think I've been so blessed to have a career that I'm so proud of, like, so proud of. One of the things that I do, and I have to work on this, I'm not even going to lie, is when I get a new job or if I start a new job, I'm always thinking about, like, well, how do I, what tops this job? Like, where do I go from?
It's always what's next.
Know? Right.
And is that fear or is that preparation?
I think it's a little bit of both. And I think that was one of the amazing and quite frankly complicated things about motherhood for me. I automatically had to pause on that for a second. I'm so used to being like, cool, cool, cool. What's next? What's next? Where are we going? What are we doing? Where are we at?
Right.
And this was like the first time that I had to be like, pause.
Because you're not in control.
Because I'm not in control. And quite frankly, this is the most important job I've ever had and will ever have in my life. I definitely put that pressure on myself every day, every day. And even just like the weight that comes with it, right? Like coming through the door and people are like, oh, you've worked here, you've done this, you've done this. So what you about to do here?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And let's stop there for a second, because you deserve the flowers of every life. Because I feel that we live a lot of lives. I spoke to our amazing client, and who is becoming just like a really dear friend, Blair Imani, and she said, as Zora Neale Hurston said, I have experienced many apocalypses, meaning that there are many times you need to end a part of your world to start a new one. And in a way, I think when you do the work that we do in service of a community, it becomes your life's calling. And so you don't have a job, you have a calling. And one calling matures to a place like a tree. And we good people, we read the word. There is a season of pruning. And so you started at ESPN.
Come on, word.
Okay?
Come on, word.
You were at ESPN and created, what was the name of the platform you created?
The Undefeated, the intersection of race, sports, and culture. And, you know, we really worked really hard. We worked really hard to create a Black space in a very white one. Right. I mean,
because it's shut up and play.
Listen, and it was especially at a place like ESPN, which is very stick to sports. The funny thing about when we launched The Undefeated was like we started seeing so many other outlets do explore that intersection of race, sports, and culture, but like when nobody else had done that before.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Troubling.
Talking about the role. Thank you. Okay. Talking about the role, because that's really what we're talking about, like culture with a capital C, right?
With
the
a
way
capital
that
C.
We are entrenched in every aspect of life.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of the work I was doing at ESPN was like, that beat you have on that ESPN commercial, that's a future song. You know what I mean? Like you wouldn't even, March Madness, like y'all out here, that's the culture. You know what I mean? Like none of this exists without Black people.
Right.
And the fullness of who we are exists outside.
It's in the finger roll. It's in the soundtracks of these beautiful gymnasts flying through the air. It's
thank
like
you.
Nia
there
and
is a
LeBron
swagger.
And the braids of Iverson.
It is in our DNA.
Yes.
It is in our DNA. It is absolutely in our DNA. So to really, and there is a story that we can tell as Black people that you can't tell.
And you are leaving you are leaving Lennox, but also us, love letters on the internet with the words that you are producing in support and in admiration and validation and representation and compensation and all the stations of our experiences from the time at The Undefeated to your time at HuffPost. Black voices and covering the kind of start of the Black Lives Matter movement and having to navigate being a journalist, but also being a Black person and reporting on Black death. And then taking all of that and creating Refining 29 Unbothered.
Yeah.
The eternal love letter to Black women on a global digital scale. That for a long time wasn't there. Even in the previously established, because we don't talk about family business outside of family, but even in the previously established platforms, still weren't able to get it right digitally. Where the younger generation was going to other outlets and having to decipher, decode.
Yes.
It's like, girl, did you got that little, remember in high school when you had to make up little like symbols and then you would put the letter?
So you would letter.
Say like little, like, I'm dating myself because we really used to come up with a whole
alphabet. We had a whole language.
To
we
send
had a whole language,
secret letters.
You
had
sure
a whole
did.
Vocabulary and it would be like symbols
God
and
forbid,
numbers.
God forbid a teacher or a crush or anybody find that letter.
Baby.
They'll never know.
But that is what I felt and that is how I feel. When I
That's
read,
such a good analogy.
When I read and have to go and take from a movie or take from an article what someone is saying and apply it to my life, because our experiences, our lives are not at the foresight of mainstream media. It's just not. We are there to perform. We are not there to inform. We don't care what you think.
Ooh.
Unbothered informed us that while we can lay some edges, we can check some people too.
Let me tell you, we can check some people and we can write some checks. See, this is the thing that people don't understand about the Black audience is there's so much value.
Value.
Like, that was really, in addition to honing my skills as a content strategist, as an editorial director, as a journalist, as a storyteller, I also really honed my skills as a salesperson.
Right.
Like, people kept telling me, like, oh, I don't know if Unbothered could be a moneymaker. Brands want to reach this audience.
Yes.
Black buying power is $1.57 trillion. I said that with a T. Okay? Like, Black buying power as of 2020 was at $1.57 trillion. That's a valuable audience. That's want to be reaching that audience. This will make you, this is actually... this is going to produce revenue for you. And we all know how much that matters in media and publishing.
Of course.
You know? So that's the thing, is that I honed my skills as a salesperson, as a person who understood the way to speak the language of revenue and business and finance and, you know, and knew how to work with a budget and knew how to really say, like, okay, this is how we're going to contribute to the bottom line. Because the honest to God truth is, if you can show how you can contribute to a company's bottom line, you can go out, you can make shit happen.
What Refining 29 Unbothered was is the legacy that you leave, that your daughter will read. And she would be like, my mom did this back chat when she was when she was a hot girl. Like, you know what I mean? Like, she'll just be like, no, my mom is on the internet.
I never even thought about that. That's so crazy.
You know what I mean? Like, you have, that's why I say it's love letters and time stamps and time capsules of a time when she could read a story about Mike Brown that you wrote for HuffPost. That's on the internet. The internet remains undefeated and never forgets. And so that's why I love the work that you do, because we could lose all of the videos and movies, but the internet will remain. And
you're blowing me away with this right now. There's a lot that goes into, there are moments that go into even making any of that magic happen. There are tears behind those stages.
And creating all that content.
But that's the beauty of being a creative. That's the beauty of creating content, is that, like, in those moments, the stuff that, like, hits the cutting room floor that we're like, don't nobody want to see that. It's like, no, that's actually the stuff. That's where the meat and potatoes is, you know? And that's the stuff, like, those are the people that I gravitate to, is the people that are really showing the journey, the people that are at the end of the day, like, you know what? I know that this looks like, I got to shout out my good sis, Julie Wilson, who's really
You already know. This is a Julie Wilson. This is a throuple, because we love us some Julie Wilson, who continuously. I love you, sis.
When I tell you, Julie speaks so much life into me and affirms me. I really have to shout, especially as a mother, Julie.
Yes.
And
with
Dana
her two
Oliver.
Beautiful boys. And Dana.
Right. And Dana. With her
we have such a good
tribe.
We have such amazing.
And Julie and Dana have known me since my baby, like back in HuffPost when I was like a baby. And they really have affirmed me so much as a Black woman and as a mother. But really, that real, like, being real humans who, like,
real
humans. This is the beautiful life of a beauty director and all of that, right? But, like, here is the real. Like, I am up with my child at 5 a.m. because this baby woke up and is not going back to sleep. And
it's
I'm
like,
here listening to Coco Melon on repeat in the while I'm also, you know, while I also, you know, just as much as I get on a plane and go kick it in Paris with Chanel, I'm also here, you know, doing the work of being
the work.
A mother. But also, I love that Julie will also be like, I'm writing a story. My computer died. I had to go to the Apple store. Apple store was closed. Wake up the next morning. You know what I mean? Like, that's the real, like, that's the thing. When you're saying who's on content.
Who's on content.
Okay. This is like, these are the stories. It's like, there are broken computers and lost chargers and lost AirPods and recordings of interviews that completely disappeared. And drafts that all of a sudden went into the ether. Like, That's the stuff that at the end of the day, I'm staying up trying to make the deadline because I know how important it is to make my make sure that the people in my community feel seen.
You are truly our ancestors' wildest dreams. And the way you are narrating, and again, leaving these timestamps on the internet and these time capsules for yourself, for Lennox, for us, what you are doing, ensuring that culture remains first and that culture is cultivating community.
Coming from HuffPost, right, I covered the news. I covered really, you know, it was really hard being a Black person covering Black death and violence against Black bodies.
Right.
And when you when you quite literally have skin in the game and you're talking about death, you're talking about Trayvon Martin and Freddie Gray and Michael Brown. And then going from that to ESPN and talking about the identity of Black people in very white spaces and like sort of in these arenas, both figuratively and literally, and then going to Refinery and talking about Black women, the thing that I felt was missing from my experience was being able to surround myself and elevate Black joy. Really spend that time. And especially, you know, this was, I started at Netflix in October 2020. And we were so desperately in need of joy as a people.
Yes.
2020 was such a hard
heavy year. Okay. Girl, you got so heavy on me.
I had some of the highest highs, like getting pregnant and my daughter being born, but some of the lowest lows in that, like I lost my grandmother, who's my best friend in the world.
Mm-hmm. And I love your moments with Mama, you called her, right?
She still got a highlight on my Instagram page. I watch it from time to time.
Go to Danielle's highlights.
I'm a child of immigrants. Okay. My grandparents came here from Haiti and made a life for their family. And, you know, I'm so grateful for those moments with my grandmother because I ended up, and it's so funny, the way that came together is actually kind of similar to how the affirmation started. We're just like, I was just having these conversations with my grandmother because it was, you know, the kind of the 10 months leading up to my wedding. And I was up in New York every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was having these great conversations with my grandmother about marriage and about partnership and being a Black woman and like all of this. And I'm so grateful for those moments because even though I still, grief is such a crazy and why it's such a journey and it's so non-linear, but I'm still, you know, dealing with that. I'm so grateful for the time that I had. I honestly had more time with my grandmother than like anybody else in my family outside of my grandfather who lived with her. She passed from complications with COVID and passed in the thick of COVID in New York City when like you couldn't see anybody. And so I bring that up because I was so in need of joy. We needed joy.
Yes.
And shortly thereafter, right before my daughter was born, my mother-in-law passed. My husband lost his mother. Mm. So it was just a really, like, it was like hit after hit after hit. Like, it was just tough. And then also balancing that with the excitement of, like, being first-time parents. So I realized how much of an honor, and it's truly an honor, to be responsible for bringing Black joy to people at a time when we need it most.
On a global scale, you bring Black joy. You talking about somebody never missing? Do you know what I mean? Never missing a beat when it comes to the social post and when it comes to the way that you amplify that Black joy. Baby, that content be content. And I just look and I'm just like, oh, my sis is once again proving. And not even that you have to, and I hate, and I don't hate that, but I feel that there is that, what we talked about earlier, right? That hypercritical little voice in our head that it's like, you haven't proven yourself.
Yeah.
And I think I can say boldly for myself, I haven't proven myself to myself because I know that there is more things to do.
There's more to do, right.
And it's not that I am not giving myself my flowers. I am also acknowledging that I can do so much more.
100%.
And that's what fuels me.
I think there's a, you know, there's having standards and knowing that you have the capacity, you know, knowing what you are capable of, but then also acknowledging what you have achieved. And I think we have to make sure that we find a middle ground in that, yeah. you know, that we are, that we push ourselves, certainly. Like, I try to healthily push myself
right.
and to set a high enough standard for myself. But I also try to encourage myself to acknowledge the wins. No, like, baby, look back and realize, like, check off all these things you've done. You know, sometimes you have to write your own introduction,
you
right?
Do.
Like, sometimes you have to be like, this is who I am. It's a passion. It's an identity.
Yes.
It ends up being
permeates in everything you do.
And everything you do. And that's really what it came down to for me going to Strong Black Lead was like, this is such an honor that it feels like a part of me to
yes,
do this.
Work. It is a calling.
And that is a call. That's it. It is a calling. And that was what I was being called to not only bring joy to myself and my family, but like my family,
yes,
my people.
Your
right?
people,
like,
your community.
I was like, I am being called at this point in my career to investigate how to create brave spaces for Black people in Hollywood.
Mm.
How to say, you know, how to demand that we get that acknowledgement that we haven't been getting. You know, how to say, we have actors and actresses who have had decades-long careers,
decades
who are
long.
Just now getting their flowers, who are getting acknowledged, who are still fighting for acknowledgement.
Right.
You know, who our community has been checking for. When we talk about the Regina Halls, when we talk about the Taraji.
Oh my God, give that woman her flowers and protect
okay.
her at all costs.
When we talk about the Taraji P. Henson, we're talking about folks who have been in the
in
community.
The game.
In the game with us, in the trenches mm-hmm. with us. But like before white folks decided that they wanted to pay attention. So that's what I feel like my calling is to celebrate that and to create a space for that. And to create a space where, because this is the thing I say all the time, is that like we talk about Black shows and films and all of that. Of course, we always celebrate if there's a Black lead in a film, if there's a Black director, whatever it is,
yeah.
right? If there are Black folks involved with a project, we're all about that. And there are real people doing this work.
Real
there are
people doing
who really
the work.
Understand these audiences
yes.
and these communities
yes.
and know how to do this work. When we're talking about shows that maybe don't even have Black people in them, the way we're talking about those shows,
because they still permeate our community.
Exactly. So
and
we're
I love
still
that.
Talking about that's it. It's like I'm creating a space. I don't care if you think. If you don't think Black people watch this show, baby, I'm going to show you Black people watch this show. And I'm going to show you that they're going to talk about it in a way that nobody else is talking about it. Think about something like Versus, okay?
Baby.
The way that that started as just kind of a grassroots moment.
We in our house.
And then you have Black yep. folks talking about it, creating community. The way that we create community,
we
ultimately creates value for brands. The way that we engage with content, that's valuable to brands. I say, y'all wish Black people were talking about your titles now.
Do you think with all of this, like, all these media platforms and everyone's kind of doing their, like, version of, like, some type of Black portal or mm-hmm. LGBTQIA portal or AAPI portal, like, everyone's trying to create different moments. Are we inclusive enough or are we being more divisive by needing to create braver spaces?
I love this question. I get this question a lot because I've had people ask me this, like, why create a separate space? Like, why have,
I know why we create separate spaces.
Right, right. I think specificity is important,
it's very important.
And I think it's important when, like, there's multiple levels to this journey. You have to find the right people to create that specificity.
Yes.
You also have to find the right people who can connect the dots and collaborate.
Right.
Who can find the opportunities for a cross-cultural conversation.
That's
you know, because there's opportunities to talk about being Afro-Latino. There's opportunities to talk about the very fraught relationship between the Black and Asian communities.
Yes.
There's opportunities to talk about being Black and queer. Now, do you smush all of those spaces together every time? Absolutely not.
Right, yeah.
You create the specificity so that people feel genuinely seen and represented.
Yeah.
And then you find opportunities for collaboration so that you, first of all, elevate the conversation. You have an even bigger audience now coming to this.
Yes.
And you have an authenticity and an organic level of conversation that you wouldn't have if you were just like blanket covering this topic. That's what I try to explain to people about specificity, is there's so much power in being specific.
Yes.
I think a lot of times we think like, oh, we just want to get everybody. We want to reach as many people as humanly possible. But the reality is you reach more people by being specific.
Yes.
You do.
Because good people know good people, which is why brands will use social media. And before social media, it was word of mouth, because you need to be validated by a few to be admired by many. All of a few just need to validate you for many to admire you.
Yes, yes. And the way it works with audiences, like when you're doing audience first work, you have to show that you, that audience,
that you are of the audience.
That you are of the audience. That you are having a conversation with people and not talking at people.
Right.
You know, that was the big thing about Unbothered, was when we spent a year without even allowing the company to open the brand up to any kind of brand partnership
because
whatsoever.
You're leading with culture and community first.
You're leading with an audience first strategy. This isn't about selling to you. This is about cultivating a community for you.
Yes.
This isn't, that's the, you Come see, on. Like, that
These marketers,
major
marketers
difference.
Listening, take note. Audience first.
Like,
even brands.
It is about creating a community for you. It's not about selling to you.
Mm-hmm.
So once you do that first, and you get that, because that's the thing, as I used to say this all the time, like, you know, Unbothered might be smaller than some of the other publications that came before it, but the engagement was next level because we spent that time really working with, like, creating a community.
Oh.
So we were, so what I used to say to brands was, I was like, sure, you can go to another publication and you might get, and you might, you know, to, because of the number, you might think, oh, the reach is bigger. Baby, I'm telling you right now.
Baby, that reach don't got nothing to do with that community
that number,
investment and engagement.
That's it. That's it. And the trust.
And the trust.
The fact that we have a community that engages with us and trusts us.
Yes.
Because we spent the time doing an audience first strategy. And then we followed up with a brand strategy. Then we followed up with a marketing strategy. Then we talked about, okay, let's introduce brand partnerships. Let's be very discerning about who we work with and why we work with them.
Yes.
Let's have standards. Let's communicate those standards to our audience. Let's show that we respect the audience and care about the audience, and that the audience comes first. The reason why that's smart is because not enough companies are doing that. That's what I think brands need to understand, is that, like, Black folks' conversation, the conversations we have, we set the agenda. We set the tone.
Set the tone.
Because we are the culture with a capital C.
We are the culture with a capital C. Danielle, we have come to the portion of the show where I ask rapid fire, and it's four questions.
Ooh. Okay.
And so I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to tell me who's on content.
Ooh, okay.
Your favorite form of content, who's on content?
I'm not even going to lie. My favorite form of content is Instagram.
Okay.
I really love what Jackie Ina is doing.
Oh.
On her, like,
baby, lavishly, like, Jackie. Jackie, if you're listening, because I know you do.
On lavishly Jackie.
Come to the show, sis.
Because
you're on content. She is on content.
She is on content. She is. It's just like,
Black women normalizing Black luxury.
Yes. And it's so relaxing to watch. It's aspirational.
Yes.
It's like, I love it. She is on content.
She's on content. Okay.
Yes.
You need a reset. Who's on content?
Honestly, I'm gonna shout her out again. Julie Wilson is on content when I need a reset. She will really
She will recenter you. And
she will recenter me.
Black womanly, gather your soul. And you'll be like, girl, let me go.
Or without even knowing it. Sometimes she'll just post like a quote or something. Or she'll say something about her day. And she will reset me. She will recalibrate me.
Oof.
So shout out. Big shout out to my sister, Julie Wilson.
When you need to be inspired, who's on content?
Child, Black women.
Come on.
I need to be inspired,
say
child,
it with
Black
your
women.
Chest.
Yeah.
Your other Black sisters women, out here doing it, not knowing what they're dealing with, but they're to all the ladies in the place with style and grace.
That's it. Black women inspire the hell out of me every day.
Damn.
When I need to be inspired, I'm always, always, always checking for a black woman. Always.
Last question, and I know this going to hit you deep. When you need to feel joy, who's on content?
My daughter.
I know it. I already knew that. Lennox will, I can't wait to come to Atlanta and meet her.
My child.
Baby. I know she's going to be like.
Oh, she is already, like, girl, I'm like, our, this little
she's
girl.
She's your daughter. And your family, and shout out to your husband, and just the content that you are giving to young, professional, successful Black women.
And I feel really, really blessed to have found a partner. You know, my husband is incredible. I cannot say enough about just what an incredibly supportive, you know, person he's been. He's never made me feel like I need to be small. Mm. He's always made me feel safe taking up all of the space. Like, he's like That's always it. Given me the runway to take up all the space.
Last question, Danielle.
Okay.
The future of content marketing is what? Like, where do we go from audience first to streaming platforms to metaverse? What is the future? If you can sum up what is next for media, and how we consume it.
Wow, that is a question. I think the future of, I think what we're finding, at least what I think is happening, is we're actually getting, it goes back to your question, we're getting more specific.
Yes.
So we're not
We're saying what we want with our chest.
Right. And it's a matter of access, right? We have so much more access than we ever have before. And so we are getting way more specific. Like, people are like, I want to see Black women luxury. I want to see, like, I always talk about this. There are not enough Black people on HGTV, right? But it's like, you don't need to be on HGTV anymore. You could really be on Instagram, okay?
Build
you could really
platform.
Be on YouTube, okay? So we're getting, I think, because of access, we're getting more specific with content.
Which means and we're being more representative. Of the varied experiences.
I love to see it, child. I give me more of it, baby. Give me more.
Danielle, my sister, my queen, you are truly a stewardess for change. You are truly who's on content. And the content is content. And I cannot thank you enough for joining us on this episode.
I cannot thank you. I can, EJ, from the bottom of my heart, you are a gift.
Thank
I told you.
You,
I said this in your DMs on your birthday. You are the gift, child.
Thank you. Thank you.
You are the gift.
I received
and
that.
And we are so, so lucky to have you.
Thank
what you have done for Black creatives in this space.
Thank you.
There is no, I will never have enough words. This is as a person who works with words,
this
child.
Is, I know.
I will never have enough words to really explain the deep value that you bring by just seeing us, by seeing us.
And thank you for seeing me. Thank you for seeing me.
You are the gift.
Thanks again for listening. Be sure to follow us at The Real DBA and give us a rating and leave us a review. See you next week.